Now we have our readings and talk, and I've split it up into little bits. So it will finish at some point, but there'll be a little bit of reading, a little bit of talk, and hopefully that's a really helpful way for us to get into this text and hear what God has to say for us. So let's have our first reading.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Well, thank you for that first reading. And today we're thinking about hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Now, especially in the Bible, names were important. In the Bible, a person's name often summarizes their character, has quite a lot of meaning. So just as we get into this theme, I thought it might be interesting to see what some of our names in our congregation mean. So here they appear on screen. So you can see that Robert, meaning Bob, means bright fame. Bridget, from an Irish name, means exalted one. Elizabeth, or Liz, means my God is an oath, promising, I guess, to be faithful. Carol seems to mean man. And Andrew means manly or masculine. So we can try and work out who is the most manly out of Carol and Andy. But Carol obviously also means a song, and we associate those with Christmas. Shelley means a clearing on a bank, apparently. Peter means stone or rock. So maybe you're sat on a Peter as you sit in your Shelley, looking out at the river flowing past. And David, finally, means beloved. And I hope you all remember that clearly. Well, anyway, we're in Matthew 1, and I don't know how Christmassy you're feeling already. It's not time for it quite yet, but we need to start our preparations. And here we have names. We have names telling us about Jesus. Joseph is told to name the baby Jesus, meaning God saves. Isaiah is quoted about that promised miraculous baby, Emmanuel, God with us. God saves, God with us. These are both important things about who Jesus is, contained in his names. So we're starting to see that the name is about the whole person. And when we pray, hallowed be your name, we're praying you, holy God, your character and purposes, may they be hallowed. May they be set apart as holy. Hallowing God's name means honouring God, recognising God as holy and worshipping him. So praying hallowed be your name is praying that God will be taken seriously, that he would be worshipped. Well, let's read the next part of Matthew's Gospel. Thank you.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, here we have the wise men. We'll come back to this just after Christmas, obviously. But here the wise men have arrived. And what do? They come to worship Jesus. They are ascribing worship about who they are and acting accordingly. So the wise men are come to worship, saying Jesus is worth this. There are other possibilities in response to Jesus, of course. So we see Herod, he has not come to worship. And later on we see he's come to reject and to seek to get rid of Jesus, the king. And here Matthew records the names of Jesus and then how he is worshipped. You see that? So we get names of Jesus and then how he's worshipped. He wants us to be hallowing the name of Jesus. Hallowed be Jesus' name. Well, let's come back to our line in our prayer. Hallowed be your name. I wonder, left to ourselves in our prayers, would they start and end with ourselves, our needs, our desires, what's important to us? If we think about starting our prayers with the worship of God, we'll start to see that that affects the rest of our prayers. There's something, Acts, it's a shape for prayers, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. It's one helpful shape that might give us a structure as to what we're going to pray, what content that there'll be. And the challenge here is to start with adoration, start with praise, honouring who God is and what God has done and how we feel about that before moving on to other things. And then it starts to affect the other things. Can we see that? So confession, confessing is to a God who is awesome, holy and forgiving. We are worshipping him for these characteristics as we come in confession. Thanksgiving is to a God who is generous and knows what is good for us. Even our salvation is centred on God's purposes and character. Starting with adoration can affect how the rest of our prayers are. So then by the time we come to supplication, asking for things, our petitions, think about what we might ask for. We might ask for healing. But can we be healed? How is my healing, how is that person's healing going to bring praise to God? Or how is my dealing with not being healed going to bring praise to God? Or we might pray for a good school or a new job. But are we praying how that role or how the opportunities that come with it bring praise to God? How can I do that thing, bringing praise to God? We pray for others and their needs. We remember that their biggest need is for salvation, that they all delight in bringing praise to God. Once we have hallowed be your name right there, front and centre, everything else we pray can be affected and focused in on bringing praise to God. Acts is just one shape. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. It's one way we can help ourselves to truly worship God in our prayers, starting with his names, his character and purpose. Hallowed be your name. I honour you, holy God, for you are worthy. Your character and purposes are of supreme value to me. So are your prayers and priorities driven by your desires and needs? Or are they focused on God's character, on God's purposes, on God's glory? How much bigger would we pray if we could keep hallowing his name in our mind? Well, next we think, well, we can't just talk this. It needs to affect how we live. We're going to have our next reading from Matthew 15.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honour your father and mother,' and 'Anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death.' But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honour his father with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. 'These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.'"
Thank you for that reading. And a lot of us have been looking like this recently, wearing masks in all sorts of places. Oh, I don't need to do it here. And I start to steam up, so I can't see what I'm doing. But just thinking about masks there. Actors on the stage used to regularly wear masks. They're a different mask for a different character. And there's pictures of masks typically associated with a theatre. Obviously, it's recently been much harder for theatres and even TV programmes with social distancing. But I guess we all enjoy a good story and some good acting. The sort of actor who acts so well, you completely believe it. You forget about them and completely believe the character. Some people have been so caught up by the acting that actors have had death threats if their character has done something bad in a show or on a film. Or they've had lines shouted at them on the street because people are believing or seeing them as their character. Well, most of us can tell that a story character is something a good actor can show on the outside without it being true of them inside. In Jesus' time, there were actors, and the Greek word Hippocrates means actors. Someone who would show a surface, a mask, different to what was true of them underneath. And here in our reading in verse 8, Jesus calls some religious leaders hypocrites. Not that they're about to put on a show, but he's talking about people who hallow God's names with their lips on the outside, but not with their lives inside, who talk of worship, but do not live it. Now, these Pharisees in verse 2, they're questioning the lack of commitment to the disciples. They're certainly being very religious. They're very keen. But Jesus shows that their rules are actually just a way of reducing, of making more manageable and safe the call of God on their lives to love God and love others. He says it's easier to do just enough, to keep a rule rather than commit to a wholehearted response to God and truly worship him by following him completely, truly hallowing his name with our whole lives. So what about us? Can we pray, "Hallowed be your name," every day? Will we follow that brave prayer with a wholehearted commitment in our lives? Not just "Hallowed be your name" when we're singing our favourite worship song, but when talking to that person down the street or in our family. Not just "Hallowed be your name" when it is our turn on some rota at church, but when an opportunity comes to serve someone else, even though it really puts us off and stops us doing something else that we want to do. Not just "Hallowed be your name" when others can see us, but at home, in secret, on our own, and at all times. "Hallowed be your name. I honour you, holy God, with my life, for you are worthy. Your character and purposes are of supreme value." Maybe then Jesus might say of us, "These people honour me with their lips and in their hearts. They honour me, my ways and character. They fruitfully worship me." Well, let's now go to the end of Matthew.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for that reading. So what do the disciples do when they see the risen Jesus? Verse 17, they worship him. So Matthew is really beginning and ending his gospel with worship. Do you remember chapter 2? Matthew begins with the wise men worshipping Jesus. Here we are at Matthew 28, the disciples worshipping Jesus. And we also see names. Chapter 1, we had Jesus, meaning God saves, and Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And here we have in chapter 8, the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Trinity God. Why worship Jesus? Verse 18, well, he has all authority in heaven and on earth. He rightly demands obedience, verse 20. He will always be with them to the end of the age. And he's named in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Son of God, hallowed be his name. And what will those who worship do? Well, they'll go and make more disciples, more worshippers. So we read there in verse 19 and 20, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Now, Matthew is probably the most Jewish gospel rooted in the scriptures. It has lots of notes about fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and references to Old Testament history. So isn't it striking how it starts and finishes? It begins with magi, wise men, coming to worship from the east, a long way from Israel. And it finishes with this last call in Matthew to go to all nations to make worshippers. This is really good news for the whole world. "Hallowed be your name. I honour you, holy God, with my life, for you are worthy. And I want others to honour you, holy God, with their lives. Your character and purposes are of supreme value." Praying "Hallowed be your name" is praying that God may be worshipped, his character admired, and his presence desired by more people in more situations all over the world. Praying "Hallowed be your name" is not actually with the main aim to fill our church, though we deeply desire and pray to do that. It's not even primarily for their sake, for people to be saved, though it is vital, obviously. No, we pray, hallowed be your name, because we want God's name to be hallowed. We want more people praising our amazing God for who he is. It is about God, not us and not people. Well, the final bit of the Lord's Prayer in most churches is, for the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. It's not actually recorded in the Gospel, but we see it's consistent. It's certainly consistent with all of Matthew's Gospel. He wants us to see that the glory is God's. And obviously that's a theme all the way through the Bible. Let me read Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart. In the council of the upright and in the assembly, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds. His righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They're established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Amen.